Listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke, your daily Broncos podcast.
What's up, Broncos country? Welcome back to a brand new episode of the show. Happy Thursday all across Broncos country, from the South Stance to the end zone. You are Locked On Broncos. I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst and Broncos insider for the Locked On NFL Network. You can follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. Today's episode, Lockdown Broncos, is brought to you by NFL Game Pass. And this season, you can get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. See all the action from every game with full game replays. You can also replay an entire game and catch all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. So go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. And you know what? Another place where football never stops is here on the Lockdown Broncos podcast, at Lockdown Broncos on Twitter, also on Facebook, social media, and on your favorite podcast provider, where if you're not yet subscribed to listen to the show every single day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday, we got an episode for you here. You are missing out. So if that's the case, hit that subscribe button, hit that follow button, and stay locked on every single day here, Lockdown Broncos podcast. Today's episode of the show, folks, we are going to dive into some Broncos news and notes. The Broncos announced a very, very important initiative that's going to go a long ways for the city of Denver, and also expanding their reach beyond just a football team, but also being active in the community. Plus, we go through the injury report, who practiced yesterday for the Broncos, who did not practice, and also the Broncos announced that four players are protected on the practice squad. But the highlight of today's episode of the show, folks, is that we are bringing it back. Crossover Thursday is now a thing. Used to be on Wednesdays. Now it is Crossover Thursday, and I'm talking with Tyler Rowland, the host of the Locked On Titans podcast. He and I are going to break down the Titans-Broncos Monday night football game, and we're going to go back and forth asking questions that are important towards the outcome of this game, respectively, for the teams that we cover here on the Locked On NFL Network every single Thursday. It is Crossover Thursday, and we're very excited to talk Broncos-Titans football. And guess what, folks? We have a football game this evening. The Kansas City Chiefs, Houston Texans, they do battle to kick off the season. I'm excited. Regardless if it's Kansas City or Houston playing, football is here, folks. And Broncos fans, you're going to have to wait till Monday night. But we're all in this together, and it's going to be fun to have football back once again. So let's start off today's episode of the show. The Denver Broncos announced they're launching the Inspire Change program. It's going to be featuring a series of social justice initiatives that are going to tackle things like education, awareness and funding, diversity and inclusion, and activism. All these things are very, very important. So for the Broncos, on the education side of things, it's going to focus on budgeted time in the football schedule for a weekly power hour meeting every Tuesday dedicated to player-led social justice causes. And this is going to include new initiatives in the areas of youth education, partnering with RISE, which is the Ross Initiative in Sports for Equality, and mentorship in the Empowerment Summit Digital Learning Series. And so education is super important. The Broncos actively involved in the school and communities, but also the mentorship aspect as well. You're going to see more players out and involved with that as well. Awareness and funding. Created We Stand For campaign supporting player-selected causes and organizations making a difference in their communities. In addition to a $250,000 annual contribution from the Broncos toward player-led social justice work, General Manager John Elway has pledged to personally donate $100,000 this year to player-designed police reform priorities locally in the Denver area. This is huge as well. And also diversity and inclusion. Newly formed Broncos Diversity and Inclusion Committee will focus on diversity and inclusion both inside and outside the organization. The team is committed to adding a full-time senior-level position dedicated to diversity and inclusion, as well as an annual career combine designed for minority candidates. That's going to be a huge thing for the Broncos as well. And activism. The full use of Empower Field at Mile High was offered as a polling location and or a ballot box location for the November 3rd general election to the Office of the Secretary of State and the Denver Elections Division, which is exploring the best possible use for the stadium and the Broncos to provide regular opportunities for players to engage with key local leaders and promote meaningful policy reform. This is big for the Broncos. I think it's a great step in the right direction for the not only just the city of Denver in terms of initiatives and creating positive change. You know, it's not just using the platform to talk about it. It's also using their platform to actually make change possible, and the Broncos taking the first steps there. And this is going to be a multi-year thing, and it's going to be continuous for as long as the Broncos are operating. This is a great sign, I think, not only just for the city of Denver, but also for football players and also for people in the community of Denver and also globally here in Colorado. I think it's going to be a big thing there for the Denver Broncos. Getting back to football, let's talk about the injury report from yesterday's practice. for the UCL Training Center in Inglewood, Colorado. Mark Barron did not practice yet again. He's dealing with a hamstring issue that he suffered in the stadium scrimmage last Friday at Empower Field at Mile High. He's going to be highly questionable for Monday's matchup, and ideally, I don't think if he doesn't practice today, if he doesn't practice tomorrow, I would be shocked if he plays on Monday. So the Broncos preparing Josie Jewell and Alexander Johnson to take a bulk of the reps. Austin Calitro, Joe Jones are also going to be ready if the Broncos do, in fact, need them to step up at that position there. And when you take a look at it too, Bradley Chubb, KJ Hamler, Graham Glasgow, all who are questionable for Monday night's game against the Titans, they were limited in practice yesterday. They added a little bit more to what they were able to do, building off of Tuesday's practice, and we're going to see where they're at today once the Broncos return back to the practice field. We'll find out from Coach Fangio prior to practice starting in the media, and we'll hear that on tomorrow's episode, Locked On Broncos. But in terms of roster news, the Broncos announced their four protected players that they're designating on the practice squad for the 2020 NFL season. That's going to be quarterback Brett Rypien. It's going to be outside linebacker Derek Tuska, safety PJ Locke, and offensive lineman Jake Rogers. These are the four players that are designated by the Broncos as untouchable, so no other team could try to poach them off the practice squad. These are the four protected players. A little interesting, too, that the Broncos didn't maybe look at Anthony Tolliver, the newly acquired cornerback from the Chicago Bears who played in Vic Fangio's system, and also cornerback Devontae Bosby, who they really got back on there, turned down seven offers to come back and be on Denver's practice squad. You know, really wondering what's going to be the case with that. Bosby will be free, I believe, after week one to be able to go to any team that he chooses. If a team calls and he's on board with it, I think he can do that. They can poach him. Obviously, I don't think the Broncos want that to happen, considering that they haven't played yet, and cornerback depth is okay at this point, but you may need a guy like Bosby down the stretch if you are the Denver Broncos. Broncos country, though, coming up here in just a moment. Tyler Rowland and I, we're going to get into the discussion of the Broncos Tennessee Titans Monday Night Football matchup on ESPN. Obviously, Steve Levy, good friend of mine, Louis Riddick, and Brian Greasy taking over the broadcast duties on Monday Night Football. Very excited to hear them on the call Monday night. Plus, we got Locked On Broncos immediately following the game, post-game report here on the Locked On NFL Network. But before we do that, I got to tell you guys about the sponsor of today's episode, Locked On Broncos. That's our good friends over there, NFL Game Pass. And I use NFL Game Pass all the time, but this season, you can get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays, and you can see all the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, all the crazy catches, the wild comebacks, and the breakout stars from every game every single week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. You get to go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. You can learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Devontae Adams, and many more players. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. So go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops.
We are here for our first Thursday crossover conversation of the 2020 regular season. Wasn't certain that we would make it to this point, but luckily we are here, and I could not be more excited to break down this upcoming game with Cody Roark. I know he is as excited as I am. He does excellent work covering the Denver Broncos, so make sure that whether or not you're a Broncos fan, you follow Cody on social media, follow his work. Excellent football mind. Cody, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Tyler. We get one step closer to football. I think anytime we can get back to a little bit of normalcy, I think things are great. And obviously, relaunching crossover, the crossover series to Thursdays rather than Wednesdays now, I think is going to be a lot more beneficial in terms of analyzing some of the real-time news that happens right before the games. So obviously, very excited. And look, man, football is back tonight. This is one of the biggest things. And obviously, it's not between, you know, Denver and, you know, Tennessee. That's going to be on Monday, but Kansas City and Houston, obviously division rivals for both of the teams that we respectively cover. Very excited, man. So I'm very excited. Let's break it down. Let's talk Titans Broncos Monday Night Football.
Yeah, absolutely. And to get things kick started, I wanted to ask you a few questions about the Broncos. And I know that there is a lot of hype surrounding that young offense, and we will get there. But I want to start on the defensive side of the ball. And right now, obviously, the hottest topic is the unfortunate news about Von Miller's ankle injury. I guess the obvious question to start that Titans fans would want to hear from someone on the ground with the Broncos is, what's the Broncos' plan right now? And I'm sure it's still developing, but what's their plan to deal with the Von Miller injury on the defensive line?
obviously, for the Broncos. It's a big-time loss for them. He's the captain. He's the cornerstone face of the franchise in Denver. So, obviously, losing him is a big blow and obviously very unexpected. It's a very, very 2020-like thing to happen there. But what the Broncos are going to do is, look, they understand the importance of Von Miller, but they also understand that they got to continue. They just can't stop doing what they're doing because the main guy of the franchise got hurt. So now you're going to see Malik Reed and Jeremiah Atauchu. You know, Malik Reed is an undrafted rookie free agent out of Nevada, second-year player. Came in for the Broncos last year when Chubb tore his ACL and made an impact. And I believe he actually got his first run really against Tennessee. So obviously you got to see a little bit of Malik Reed there in that game. And then Jeremiah Atauchu, a veteran presence as well. Those guys are going to trade off here for the Broncos alongside Bradley Chubb. So, you know, they're a little thin right now at outside backer, but I would expect Malik Reed to get the start on Monday night when Tennessee comes to town alongside Derrick Henry.
Yeah, one place that the Broncos are not thin in terms of talent, though, is at the safety position. You got a guy like Justin Simmons, a guy like Kareem Jackson, one of the better duos in the league. That's something both teams have in common. So moving away from the pass rush and into the safeties, and I don't necessarily want to get into pass coverage with the safeties, but last year against the Titans, the Broncos really had their safeties down in the box. They really brought them up in run support. I guess, what do you expect to see from the Broncos safeties in this game? And do you think that the back end has enough talent to maybe cover for the missing Von Miller up front?
Yeah, this is a great question. And I go back to last year's game against Tennessee, and Tennessee ran a lot out of 11 personnel. And so with a big back like Derrick Henry, the dynamic that I saw with him is that the Broncos would make sure that they held edge contained so they could pinch the exterior gaps, whether it's the C gap, the outside alley. They try to pinch it in, also having guys go the double A gap there, and then have the inside linebackers blitz in, and then Justin Simmons, Kareem Jackson essentially played as extra box players. Now, if there was a tight end to their side, they'd play coverage and man coverage. They'd play zone and they'd disguise there, but they would get hands on. And I know with Jonnu Smith down there in Tennessee, they're going to have to account for him because he's a growing and rising player in that Tennessee Titans offense as well. A.J. Brown entering his second year. The Broncos right now more than likely will match A.J. Boye against A.J. Brown. And some familiarity within the division with one another. I think it's going to be a fun matchup to watch. Bryce Callahan is healthy. He'll cover opposite at number 84. And then I think overall for what the Broncos can do, you know, it remains to be seen whether or not the secondary can uphold in coverage. They were the 10th ranked passing defense in the NFL last year, number one red zone defense as well. I'm not as concerned about the secondary as I have been in the past, but it's going to be really interesting to see if Tennessee added any new wrinkles offensively than what they did last year, because I think the way that they run with Derrick Henry, they're going to bring those safeties up at the box. And I think that's really where Tennessee exposed a lot of teams, especially the Ravens in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the most interesting thing, obviously, from this game on this side of the ball is seeing how the Broncos react to the Tannehill-led Titans for the majority of the game. I think, obviously, a lot of Titans fans are optimistic for that fact. But one last question about this defense, just to kind of educate Titans fans on a Broncos defense that doesn't get a lot of national pub outside of the safeties that I talked about. Everyone knows Bradley Chubb, Von Miller. Is there a player on the Broncos defense you think can break out this year and maybe surprise some people, someone maybe Titans fans should be paying attention to on defense for the Broncos?
Well, you know, I don't want to be cliche and say Jarrell Casey week one against his former team. You know, he's got a lot of motivation. You know, we talked to him this week and he's given the Broncos a lot of insight as to maybe what Tennessee does. And so it's going to be interesting to see how they change things up. But I think the one player to maybe keep an eye on for the Broncos defense, if you're a Titans fan and you're trying to figure out, hey, who could be an X factor player in this game? Inside linebacker Alexander Johnson. He plays the will backer position. And last year he was just sent after Derrick Henry and also after Tannehill and Mariota. He's a very aggressive player, very instinctual, fast, physical, and loves to get in the action. And so he's one of those guys, I would say, if you're a fan of the Titans looking to see which players can make an impact, I'd have to go with Alexander Johnson.
Awesome. Well, Titans fans, be on the lookout for that. And you have made yourself a little bit of headway with the Titans fan base by pronouncing Mariota right. You know, that's pretty important. Mariota is the pronunciations of the name go back and forth, but when you pronunciate it right, the fans really appreciate that. And speaking of a quarterback, it's time to dive into that Broncos offense. And everyone has talked about Drew Lock, the potential that he had based on the end of the season last year. What are your personal expectations for Drew Lock?
I think the expectations for the most part for Locke is that he's got to come in and light up the scoreboard, lead the Broncos to, you know, a high scoring offense, 40 points per game. That's what Broncos fans want. But the reality of the situation is, I consider 2020 Drew Lock's actual rookie season. He's got to get a full 16 game season to really evaluate maybe where he's at and what he could be for this Broncos team. Now, if you reference going back to last season, you know, I think he did make a difference. He went 4-1 in a 5-game stretch for the Broncos against some tough teams and also against some teams that were kind of on the up and up a little bit down there, down the stretch there. He displays a lot of confidence. Now, one thing I think that's going to be different in this matchup between the Broncos and Tennessee is that the Broncos have an athletic, mobile quarterback who's decisive, gets the ball out of his hands quickly. When the Broncos and Titans played last year, Joe Flacco was like a statue back there, and it was able to get, you know, pressure. Tennessee was able to pressure him a little bit, and the back end of that secondary for Tennessee was able to capitalize on some of his errant throws because of pressure. And I think it's going to be a little bit different with Drew Lock. Now, he has to just go out there and trust his reads, go through his progressions, but I think the Broncos need to establish the run game early on to really kind of take that pressure off of him. I don't know necessarily yet what Drew Lock will do in a situation where if he's forced to pass, if the Broncos find themselves behind. I don't know exactly what to expect from him if he has to come in and start throwing the ball a lot of times to be able to move the Broncos down the field, maybe even get the score there. But I think the Broncos need to take that pressure off him early on. The potential is there. He's an energetic leader, but he's got a lot of room to grow still. And I think for him, and I think for Broncos fans alike, they got to treat this like a rookie season.
Yeah, that's completely fair. And I think it's funny that you brought up the fact that Flacco was the starting quarterback for the Broncos. So when Titans fans bring up, you know, Marcus Mariota was our quarterback, Broncos fans can just counter with, well, we didn't have Drew Lock either. So that makes the game really interesting. The last question I really have for you here is on that offense again. One thing that'll really help Drew Lock step up, meet those expectations, maybe surpass those expectations, if his young weapons can help him accomplish that. You have two highly drafted wide receivers in Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler, who are excellent. I'm really high on Jerry Jeudy. I think route running is something that absolutely translates. So worried about him on Monday night. Obviously, second year player in Noah Fant at the tight end position, who might be the most athletic tight end outside of Jonnu Smith, or debatably with Jonnu Smith in the league right now, especially after the catch. And then Courtland Sutton is a true number one on the outside. So where's your, I guess, temperature check on these young weapons? Do you think that they can step up early to make this team competitive?
I do think that will be the case. I think Courtland Sutton is going to be the number one target. I think you're going to see Kevin Byard lurking over the top of wherever Courtland Sutton is lined up. So it's really going to put some pressure on guys like Jerry Jeudy, other wide receiver Tim Patrick, who's 6'4", KJ Hamler, highly questionable for Monday's matchup against the Titans. But I think it's going to create opportunities for Jerry Jeudy and also for Noah Fant in his second year to see a lot more opportunities, because if the Titans come out defensively, if Mike Vrabel says, look, we got to focus on Courtland Sutton, we got to focus on Jerry Jeudy, they're going to challenge the Broncos to beat them with the running backs out of the backfield, another wide receiver, and even the tight ends. And I think that's going to be a test the Broncos need to figure out. And going back to that Kansas City Chiefs-Titans game in the AFC Championship, going back and watching how the Chiefs really utilized Travis Kelce, maybe the Broncos take a page out of that to be able to maybe get him up into some space a little bit, because, you know, Tennessee had to focus on, you know, Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins. The Broncos have to find that formula to be able to kind of create mismatch nightmares. And I think they're going to try to establish earlier, like, where can they go? Who's the weakness on that Titans defense that they can try to attack and exploit? I think that's going to be a big key.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be something to watch. I'm really excited for this game. These teams have a bunch of interesting storylines surrounding them. And then, of course, the seminal game of the Titans season last year that changed everything was the Broncos matchup with the Jurrell Casey trade. There's just a lot of juicy storylines here to watch unfold.
And Broncos country, we're going to continue this conversation. I'm going to ask Tyler a bunch of questions about the Tennessee Titans, getting his insight. But before we do that, I got to tell you guys about the other sponsor of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. That's our good friends over there at Rock Auto. .com. And rockauto.com is a family-owned business that's been serving auto parts customers online for over 20 years. You can go to rockauto.com today to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. And they have everything. And when I say everything, I mean everything. They have engine control modules, they have brake parts, they have motor oil, they have new carpet, even new air fresheners for your vehicle. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, you get everything that you need in just a few easy clicks. And the best part about it, it's delivered directly to your door. That's why I rock with rockauto.com. And not to mention, the rockauto.com catalog is unique and it's remarkably easy to navigate. I can quickly get onto rockauto.com. I can search by vehicle, year, make, and model, and I can see all the parts available for my vehicle on the rockauto.com catalog. And that's why I like it. It's easy to navigate. I can find what I need and I could get out of there. I could check out and have it delivered right to my door. And I get to choose the parts, the brands, and the specifications that I prefer. The best part of it all is that prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So why should you have to spend up to twice as much for the same exact parts elsewhere? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And I want you to write Locked On Broncos in there. How did you hear about us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts that your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
All right, Tyler, I want to get into a few things here with you because this is a big Monday Night Football matchup. Obviously, in the Eastern time zone, it's going to be a late game. And even for the Mountain time zone, I've had a lot of Broncos fans say, hey, look, you know, why do they keep scheduling these games late? And certainly, we're going to have a work cut out for us because we got the post-game report right afterwards here on the Locked On Podcast Network. So that's going to be a fun thing. But obviously, looking at this Tennessee Titans team, coming off of an appearance in the AFC Championship where, you know, for the first half, you felt really convinced that this was a team that really could contend and maybe compete with Kansas City. And then Kansas City, you know, they do what they do. They have a couple of big plays, and then it's a snowball effect. They capitalize on mistakes. You know, overall, where do you think this team's mindset is now with Ryan Tannehill? Big payday for him this offseason. Big payday for Derrick Henry. What about the surrounding talent around them? What are your initial expectations coming into the season for this Titans team?
Well, I think my initial expectations for the team, based on what they did in the offseason, the deals that you mentioned, they brought back the key pieces. Derrick Henry is obviously a key piece. I don't have to sell anybody on that. Ryan Tannehill, despite what people say about his performance in the playoffs, if anybody watches football and watched the Titans in the regular season at the end of the year last year, they know Ryan Tannehill was a weapon and deserves the credit that he got. The contract, we will see if he deserves that, but he deserves the credit for last year. But my expectations are they keep the ball rolling. There's especially in this offseason, everything was so limited. I think that 2020 is more of an extension of 2019 than any previous season we have seen before. And because of that, the Titans have young weapons who excel with the ball in their hands. They have the same offensive coordinator in Arthur Smith. Ryan Tannehill's back for the full season. I think the Titans offense should continue to roll.
And so in terms of the offense as well, you know, a part of me, like I said earlier when you and I were talking, was I wonder if the Titans are going to throw any kind of new wrinkles out there because the NFL, they have film. And really the formula last year was, you know what, Ryan Tannehill under center, hand off to Derrick Henry, play action because everyone's cheating up in the box to stop Derrick Henry, who was really hard to bring down. And that's where you got guys like Khalif Raymond getting open, A.J. Brown. But I really want to talk about this receiving core too. And A.J. Brown really leads the pack as the premier guy here. What can the Broncos expect maybe from a guy like A.J. Brown in his second year? Obviously, one of the most athletic, explosive young talents that we saw last year in the NFL at the receiver position. I think the sky's the limit for a guy like him. But how does he fit into the equation of the Tennessee Titans' heavy run offense?
Well, I think one thing that A.J. Brown has to do to continue to improve, and I think he will, is work on his releases off press. Coming from college football, one of the historic things that college wide receivers struggle to translate to in the NFL is getting off press coverage, getting jammed at the line of scrimmage. A.J. Brown has been working directly with Malcolm Butler, who's a pretty good physical press man corner, throughout the entire offseason, and one-on-ones going against each other to help improve that. So I think that you're right. The Titans formula has been seen. Teams know what's coming. They can't just continue to do that, even if they can draw off that continuity. I think there's a couple of different things that'll happen. A.J. Brown getting better at those releases, getting a more sophisticated route tree, and just getting more nuanced at the position will help him get open and not have to be schemed open by play action so much. So that'll help. The addition of Adam Humphries, who was injured for a lot of the time that Tannehill was the quarterback for the Titans last year, I think that'll help them do more outside of play action, hitting those short to intermediate option routes that you know, Tom Brady made famous in New England there. I think the Titans can work in a little bit of that. And then third-round rookie running back Darrington Evans offers a diverse skill set the Titans didn't have with a Deion Lewis that they don't have with a Derrick Henry, where he can catch the ball out of the backfield. Again, he can run a diverse route tree where Derrick Henry's only going to be running screens, going out into the flat, very basic. He doesn't have the change of direction skills to run a full route tree for a running back, and Evans does. So Evans will give the Titans the possibility of doing some things. Think about, we talk about the Chiefs. Think about the running back wheel routes that the Chiefs have really had success with. The Titans could never even imagine running a play like that before or a route like that before at the running back. So having Darrington Evans open up the versatility with the running back, having A.J. Brown advance as a wide receiver, and then having Adam Humphries expand the Titans shotgun game and short to intermediate game, those things will help the Titans stay out of being too predictable with run play action.
We saw Derrick Henry throw a touchdown pass in the playoffs last year. I'm just saying, you know, there's a lot of things that you can't prepare for. And I just recall just watching him run. He's just a sizable guy. You really can't try to tackle him up high. And I go back to my playing days. Anytime we played a big back, you know, our DB coach always told us, go for the legs, chop them down like a tree. And so for the Broncos, we saw a great group tackling effort from them last season. Part of me is a little worried a little bit about the fact there has been no preseason and the tackling. You can't really get a full tackling simulation in practice due to the rules in the collective bargaining agreement. We could either see really, you know, good offense or we could see really bad defense. I think it could be a combination of the two. That's one of the biggest storylines I'm looking to follow. But I think for the Titans here, the one thing I want to talk to you about, Tyler, is the addition of Jadeveon Clowney. We know what type of talent he could, you know, bring to the table here. However, what are your thoughts? Obviously, not being in a camp, not being around a team facility all offseason long, this is the first week he's really in the action, really practicing. What kind of impact do you think he can make week one? Do you think he's going to be up to his standard? Or do you think it maybe take a little bit of time to get him to where he needs to be?
Well, I think that in terms of his overall impact, the Titans are only smart to limit his snaps. I mean, I want to see Clowney out there, and I think he has the capability of playing maybe 50 to 60% of snaps. That's what he played in Seattle last year in week one, right around, you know, 50 to 60%. So he was ready to go without the training camp in the offseason then. But the Titans are really big on a rotation. If you remember to the Eagles championship team from a few years ago, their defensive line, they went 6 to 7 deep. 8 deep sometimes. They could rotate, and keeping your pass rushers fresh is something the Titans really focus on. Harold Landry, who is getting washed away and all the Clowney talk and everything, was a real rising star for the Titans defense as an edge rusher last year, had 9 sacks, really tailed off late in the year when he didn't have anybody opposite him. And he played around 85% of snaps last year, which is a lot for a pass rusher when you're trying to pin your ears back nonstop to get to the quarterback. So I think the Titans will have a focus on a defensive line rotation this year, which will limit Clowney's snaps and allow him to maybe get up to speed. But I still think that his impact, because his snaps will be limited, will be as high as possible. He can maximize his potential impact by limiting his snap count.
If I'm Pat Shurmur, the Broncos offensive coordinator, one of the things I'm going to do just to test it, if I see Jadeveon Clowney out there, I want to run at him on the first play. I want to see what, you know, what he's doing. I want to be able to test him a little bit. I think that's one of the ultimate signs of seeing where a guy is at. I think the Broncos are going to try to come out and test it. But the last question I have for you here, Tyler, you know, taking a look, if you're a Broncos fan right now that's listening to this podcast, you're waiting for Monday night to come around, who is one player? It could be on offense, it could be on defense, that you think outside of the, you know, Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill, outside of those two guys, the evident obvious players there, who is one player that Broncos fans should maybe keep an eye on Monday night?
I think if the Broncos fans want that answer, and I'm going to say this, probably get away with saying this until about week three, and then it won't be someone that the fan base doesn't necessarily know about anymore. A guy who did not play against the Broncos last year, and a guy who is the reason why the Broncos have Jarrell Casey now. That's Jeffrey Simmons, the interior defensive lineman from Mississippi State, 19th overall pick in 2019, had an ACL tear 2 months before the draft in February last year, rehabbed, finally got on the field in week 7 for the Titans, had a sack. The Titans, in my opinion, were the best team in the NFL at defending 1 yard last year. They had four different, you know, you saw the goal line stops against New England in the wild card. You saw 2 fourth-and-1 stops against the Ravens, the big goal line stand against the Chargers where they made Melvin Gordon fumble on the goal line as the buzzer expired. Casey actually recovered that fumble, but Jeffrey Simmons was at the heart of all of those plays, getting interior push. 6'5", 340 plus pounds. He's a totally different looking human being compared to when he got drafted. Since he's had a healthy offseason, not wearing a knee brace anymore, I expect Jeffrey Simmons, this is a bold prediction for the Broncos fan base or for anyone, I expect by the end of the season, halfway through the season, Jeffrey Simmons will be mentioned with the Chris Jones, the Grady Jarrett, the DeForest Buckners, the Fletcher Cox. Obviously, Aaron Donald is a tier above everybody, so I don't like mentioning his name, but those dominant interior forces in the NFL, I think Jeffrey Simmons, off a healthy offseason with a healthy knee, becomes that. And that's what Broncos fans should worry about on their interior offensive line holding up against Jeffrey Simmons.
Well, Broncos country, you did hear it from Tyler there, a Titans perspective, obviously very close to the team and covering all the angles there. It's going to be a fun matchup Monday Night Football, the second game of the doubleheader to kick off the 2020 NFL season. With that said, I'm Cody Rourke, host of Lockdown Broncos, speaking for Tyler.
We will see you tomorrow for a brand new episode of the show here on the Lockdown Broncos podcast and your favorite podcast provider. Don't forget to hit that subscribe and follow button for daily exclusive Denver Broncos content.